ago, way back in history, when all there was to drink was nothing but cups of tea. Along came a man by the name of Charlie Mott, and he invented a wonderful drink and he made it out of hop.
He got to be an admiral, a sultan or a king, and to his praises we shall always sing. Our look what he's done for us, he filled us up with cheer. Our Lord bless Charlie Mott, the man who invented beer, 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 tiddly beer, beer, beer.
I'll put you this way, Anthony. I hurried up and hit record, even though I wasn't ready, just so you could repeat what you just said. Like, you have a toolbox this size.
Oh, bigger.
Full bigger. Of chainmail making materials.
I have a bunch of rings, yeah.
How long have you had that?
I've had it for a few years.
Because I think you should have let off with that.
Should have.
Hi, my name's Anthony. I have a toolbox of chainmail making.
I've seen it. It's time consuming.
But don't you like weave that shit with like crochet needles? But like manly crochet needles?
It's called pliers.
That is manly crochet needles.
Manly crochet needles.
Pliers.
And it is like weaving, but we just call it bending metal.
Do you listen to metal while you're bending metal?
No, I concentrate a lot because I have bad eyesight, like you see.
So you listen to Steel Panther?
Steel Panther's gonna have to be a hashtag because every time.
But why have we never talked about this? Like,
I really don't know.
Like, this is an important piece of information you just laid on.
Show me your nerd.
He came over to the house that day and seen the Arkham Horror game all out on the floor and helped me put it up. And I had the toolbox was in the living room, and I said something about I was going to make a. I pulled it back out to make a D&D dice bag with chainmail. To make a chain
you mean a crown roll bag?
To make it? No, a chainmail dice bag.
Oh, I thought all of
there
all,
are, but
I thought all D&D dice bags were crown roll.
Crown roll bags. I wanted a chainmail bag, so I was going to make a chainmail bag.
And just, I guess I'm a little taken back, not by the fact that you're a chainmail smith. Is there a
chainsmith?
A chainsmith? Is there a name for that?
I'm not sure. Armor.
But you've never told me that until right now. Like, why did you wait till now? I mean, that's so relevant to everything.
We were talking about the Show Me Your Nerd.
We were talking about the Show Me Your Nerd, and I said I need to take a picture.
I'm trying to think of a good example, but it'd be like if we were just standing here one night, drinking a couple beers and talking, and I just pulled out a puppet and said, I'm a ventriloquist, and you guys didn't even know it, and started going, blah, 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 with my little puppet on my... Like, why the hell did you just not tell me that?
So the only issue I have with that is you
put... Not that puppeteering has anything relevant.
Yeah. It's the same as making chainmail.
No, but the surprise that you would have in me doing that is what's comparable.
Yes.
Not the actual act.
Gotcha.
Because I couldn't think of... Okay, it would be like, hey guys, you know we talk about comic books a lot? Here's this comic book that I produced myself that I never told y'all about. There you go. There's a good example. With some nerdiness in it.
Spoiler alert. Woo!
No, I'm not ready to tell the public that I've been working on a comic book secretly.
Edit it.
All right, well...
Am I doing this?
I just want you to pour me a... I'm just gonna... No. I don't want
not a whole one.
I can't drink anymore.
This is medicine. Do you want any more of this?
No, not right now.
Okay.
Maybe we had to drink it on the air. Remember that was the thing.
We do have to do that.
That was the rule.
I think what we're doing right now is very fitting to this podcast, this particular episode, because you know how we talk about when we have guests over here that we sit around a bar and we get to bullshitting and drinking beers and telling stories and talking, and we don't even want to go over to the computer and formally do the podcast? Well,
tonight's the night.
We just did this with the intro.
Yeah. I don't know. When you go on vacation and we come over here and redo the man cave, we might like revamp this whole
thing. Yeah.
Revamp this whole thing.
But we're going
might,
to...
chainmail everywhere. But no, we are just sitting around the bar and we were trying to get motivated to go over to the computer to start this intro for this awesome podcast, episode 71, Kill Pop Culture.
71. We are close to 3/4 of the way through.
Like we're done when we get to 100.
Yeah. No,
we're almost done when we get finished.
We won.
No,
we get to 100, we start over.
Now when we get to 100, I'm just going to put on the description of the podcast, I'm just put like, we win.
There you go.
The finish line.
That's it.
We're finished. But then we start over with 101.
Yeah.
No, we were sitting around the bar. We got some Irish whiskey. We got some of the mead that's been brewing, literally. And Anthony brought over some really good Hopsecutioners. We got the Chaser beers. And
lemons.
Yeah, and y'all were eating some chips and salsa. And we were just sitting here at the bar bullshitting. And we were trying to get motivated to go to the computer. And I'm like, damn it, let's just hit record.
We had a great podcast just by yeah. yourself before we hit record.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Every That's time. Why I hit record.
You just got to start recording.
Especially when I was getting ready to, like, I was going to pull up my notes and get all situated. And you were like, I make chainmail, guys. I just thought I'd throw that out there after 20 years.
Look, Andy, if you had said this like an hour ago, we could have started recording.
I would have started the podcast right then.
Because I was like, we were in good, deep discussion about.
But if I had mentioned that then, we wouldn't have talked about all the other stuff. We talked
about. Well, that's true.
We talked about growing hops and making beer and all
grilling.
Grilling and salmonella.
Yeah. We talked about a lot of stuff.
Speaking of.
Time travel.
Speaking of hops, I had this in my notes, I know, just because it happened today. I'm now the proud father.
Yes, you are.
I'm a dad of hops. I went to the Dagobah system, and I purchased 3 hop plants. And according to Beer Yoda, Mark Fancher at Charleston.
Dig up the system.
All right.
Frost, Charleston,
Frost. We will have hops, even though it's late in the year for me to get started. I'm starting with a plant rather than the ribozobum.
Ribozobum.
I'm not starting with like the little root thing. I'm starting with an actual plant that I'm assuming came from his property, which is where I think Kim's came from, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So our hops and Kim's hops will be like, you know,
brother cousins.
So anyway, we're going to be growing our own hops out here, and we're going to be making a lot more beer. And on this episode of Kill Pop Culture, we do the brewbecue, and we make some really, what I think is going to be awesome beer. What do y'all think?
I think it's going to be good.
I think it's going to be really good.
Kill Pop Fresh Hop Pale Ale.
That's right.
I've been practicing that.
Have you really?
I can see it on a can.
Yeah.
Kill Pop Fresh Hop Pale Ale.
Thank you for that, Kim, by the way.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I say this on the podcast, but I can't reiterate enough that it's everything we could have imagined the brewbecue to be. It was back in November? Was it that long ago? No, March.
No, March.
Where the hell am I getting November?
I have no idea.
A year ago.
It was back in March when we had, I forget what episode number it was, but we did the 1817 thing. And we coined the term and came up with the idea for the brewbecue. And, I'm thinking t-shirts, because that's a cool...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cool word.
Hashtag barbecue.
I'm not saying we invented it, but...
We invented it.
I think we should... I think we should get sued over it if we didn't.
Hashtag barbecue. Yeah.
We should have some shirts.
Oh, and hey, we've already came up with a second shirt. Brew or brew not, there is no try.
There is
no try. Yes. Yeah, we came up with that at the brewbecue.
Yeah, brewbecue.
We're just full of hashtags.
We got musicians, we got making beer, we got great food. I mean, that's a festival in the South.
Shoot, so, man. Yeah. It was amazing.
You tell me there's a barbecue festival going on somewhere, and I'm in driving distance, I'm going.
That's what this could turn into easily.
Yeah.
So during the barbecue, we were over at Kim's house. We went over there. I just used my phone, you know, right. We hit record. So, you know, in the background, you can hear all of us talking. You can hear the burner going.
Jet engine.
Yeah, he has this huge, huge cooker.
How many gallons was that?
25 gallon.
Yeah, it was. He got like 15 gallons of water boiling within like 5 minutes.
Oh yeah.
It was crazy.
Of
Molly Harmon spring water.
You didn't say it.
Are you listening to this tap water?
What if he is?
I love you, tap water. I'm sorry. I have fun at your expense, if that's okay.
I saw him today. He said, "Hey, what's up, man?"
I bet he listens to this.
I think he does too. Because he's probably cool.
Okay, edit.
You should have him on the podcast.
Can I call him tap water? Didn't you call him tap water one time? Not
to his face.
But he had to have heard us when I was like, tap water.
he's right. It's not that he's wrong. I mean, I've used tap water to make beer. It's just how he...
It's how he says it. He said it like he just won something. Like,
you can make beer out of tap water. Woo-hoo!
I win! Like, you don't win? Ba-da-ba! Ba-da-ba! Your check's in the mail, tap water!
We're not even drunk.
Oh, my God. I know.
We're sober.
What's bad is we shouldn't be recording this, but I'm probably going to leave it in there.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing that I wanted to say to, and to the people that I want to say this to, they probably didn't make it this far, but let's just say you're not into craft beer at all. Let's just say you don't drink beer. Let's just say you hate beer, but you do listen to this podcast. This, trust me, this episode is still going to be fun for you to listen to. And I equate it to this. And depending on how what your age is and what generation this is for you, but it may be Conan O'Brien for you, or for me it was Johnny Carson when I was a kid, and they did like the baking, like right. When people would come on and cook stuff.
Right.
Well, I didn't care about what they were cooking, but I still enjoyed the segment because it was funny and the hosts were good, and you know, the banter and just the whole thing. If you like a talk show or any kind of variety show, you're going to enjoy the show no matter what they're doing. And I think, or I hope, or I'd like to think, that even if you just hate beer, you're going to like this episode.
Yeah.
It's fun to listen to. It's fun to listen to.
And you don't have to like beer, but you can be a do-it-yourselfer or whatever, because it's a step-by-step process that ends up being a product that you can... you know, use for yourself, and it don't have to be beer, but the concept of it is still the same.
Yeah. I had a great time with the barbecue. It was awesome. When we first started heating up the water, I immediately started recording. I did a couple segments with him, then I handed the reins over to you guys, and you brought it home, did a great job. Looking forward to everybody hearing this, so let's just jump right to it, and then we'll come back and do a little outro here in a minute. Drink a little bit more of this pirate whiskey.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pump Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
I shined it up a little bit with some love. All right, so are we brewing beer? Like, when does the brewing process start? When you heat the water?
When you heat the water, man.
Or when you make the recipe? When you show up with the ingredients? I mean, when does brewing begin?
We have just heated up our mash water to just above 150, and we are officially in the process right now. I'm going to pour about a little over 7 gallons of water over into our super fancy Lowe's Igloo mash tun.
I like it.
And we're going to try to hold a steady temperature of around 150 degrees is what we want to be able to do that diastatic conversion, where we convert the sugars from starches into actual sugars.
Now, you showed me the little program, which you mentioned last time, and I actually got to see it in action over here. Does it do those conversions for you, like as far as the temperature and the ratios of everything?
Yeah, it does. It'll even average out the mash tun dead space so that you can account for temperature loss when you're actually mashing, which is pretty darn sophisticated for $30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was you saying? You had a 2001 Dell Latitude?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a Dell. I think it's a Dell 520 Latitude from 2001, and it is still kicking.
With Windows 98 SE, right? No, it's probably XP.
XP. Which they don't support anymore.
Right.
So that's good. It's good to know.
It's that. It's good that you don't have internet. You can't get viruses and bugs and stuff on it.
That's right. It is its own virus.
Yeah. So I love the name you came up with for this brew that we're doing. I don't say annual because I want to do it more than once a year.
Oh, yeah. It needs to be.
What is the name of the beer that you came up with?
All right, so I've never done a fresh hop ale before, and seeing as how we're actually the first and only brewery in Mississippi to ever grow their own hops, I felt like it was time to utilize that asset. So
and there they are, right there. Going to shut
up. Right there. I don't know if you can see it because it's dark, but
yeah, I'll have to grab
they're out there in the Mystic. I wanted something indigenous to our little group.
Yeah.
So for the fresh hop ale, I named it the Kill Pop Fresh Hop Ale.
Pale Ale.
I messed it up.
Kill Pop Fresh Hop.
Pale Ale.
I love it. It's got a nice banter to it.
It does.
It's going to be a big fat label, but it'll wrap all the way around
twice.
The bottom. We about to go long ways with it.
We'll contour it.
From the bottom of the bottle up through the neck.
If it turns out great, maybe you'll get it into the Nautical Whimsy and we can go in there.
I've already thought about that. You know, if this turns out really well, I got no problem putting this in rotation. So,
we'll explain to everybody about the difference between...
Somebody have a light.
Because normally,
yeah,
as you were saying earlier, normally you would use the, do you call them dehydrated hops or the...
Once you pick them, you, I just need to see how much water I've got in here. I'm going for just over 7 gallons. When you pick them off the vine, and that's B-I-N-E, as in boy, I-N-E, should be...
Oh, you made some modifications to your little... Carboy there.
Oh, yeah, baby.
What is
it? There it is, right there. 6, there's 7. Okay, that's what we're looking for right there, if you just keep it on there.
Okay.
And, you know, they have a lot of moisture in them. When you pick them, awesome. When you pick them off the vine, we need just a little bit more. When you pick them off the vine, so usually what I do is I actually put them in that tin pail over there and turn a fan diagonal over the top. And put the fan on them for 2 days, and it totally dries them out. You want them the consistency of a wasp nest. If you've ever touched a wasp nest, that's what you want.
Definitely an abandoned one.
Yes.
Make sure it's good and abandoned.
Only a fresh wasp nest.
You have to run up a gravel, fully active wasp nest to get
full
the
full of babies and adults. That's the best way to know. And, so when you do that, what that does is it opens up the leaves of the cone.
Right.
So that the lupulin, which is the bittering agent, it's stuck down in the folds of the leaves next to the cone so that they're as open to extraction as possible. So we're going to do something a little bit different.
That just sounds awesome. Even if none of that works, I love it.
Alien, open for extraction.
Yes, it is.
All right, I'm going to pour just a little less because the worst thing to do is to have too much water in there, and then when you pour the grain in, you can't finish pouring all the grain in.
Right.
Then you're kind of screwed.
So we got right at 7 gallons. Right?
We got just under 7, and Mark, if you or Mark Harrison, the other Mark, if you would hand me the grains that are in there, please.
Since you're adding the grains, tell us what kind of grains you selected and why for this particular Kill Pop Fresh Hop Pale Ale.
There you go.
We might need to work on an acronym for that. T-A-T-P-I-L-I-C.
K-P.
You used to be a teacher. You probably know what that is.
Yeah. K-P-F.
Trying to forget things, man.
K-P-F-A. It's all coming.
Open wounds.
K-P-F-H-P-A.
Here, you got an extra hand on that.
I've already eaten some of these grains, by the way. I hope
they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They taste like grape nuts, if grape nuts were awesome. Is that a good analogy?
That is the perfect analogy. I actually said, man, that's so funny. The way you and I phrase things is so similar. I actually told somebody last week, I said, they taste like grape nuts. I didn't say they taste like grape nuts if grape nuts were awesome. I said they taste like grape nuts if grape nuts were, I think, malted barley or something like that.
Yeah.
You're saying much better, but I actually use that exact same
word. Grape nuts would make you drunk.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're The grains are really crunchy, but they taste good.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic, man. It's like the greatest granola you could ever eat, ever.
Do you always go by the taste, or do you go by the typical pairing, or do you like to kind of go your own way and just come up with, wow, look at that big tub of grains.
Yeah. Nice.
I could put milk in that and just eat it.
Oh man, it's incredible. People don't realize how delicious this stuff is. But it's kind of a twofold process. There's familiarizing yourself with a certain amount.
What kind of grain is this?
And so you know what they taste like.
Yeah.
And then there's ones that you want to experiment with, so you eat them. And then you say, oh, I could see that going with that grain bill. Or
got you.
What's that?
Oh, man, eat a bunch of it. You need, like, a good scoop to really get, yeah.
Get you a dip.
Sorry.
Like a chew tobacco.
Basically, yeah.
Tastes like grape nuts.
That's what we're looking for right there. Just a little bit at a time. You don't want to get dough balls.
Right.
You know, basically that stuff will clump up in there super hard. And then you can't get any extraction of the sugars. So...
And some people, I think Anthony was telling me when we did our last batch, that a lot of people get their spent grains and make bread and stuff out of them.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a Derego's. There's a like a little cafe in Starkville that is using the spent grain from home brewers to make crackers.
Really?
Yeah. And they taste... Each grain bill tastes totally different. Like a stout grain bill tastes totally different than an IPA grain bill, than an amber grain bill, and so on and so forth. So there's a ton of cool stuff you can do, man.
So this is three different kinds of grains that you're putting in here?
Yeah, we're using... I didn't ever finish that last statement. We've got pale malt. We've got some brewer's malt. We've got... which is the base malts. I picked pale and brewer's because... Brewers has a higher diastatic conversion power, and I'm going to have I just want to make sure that I get the sweetness in here, because we're going to have plenty of bitterness.
Right.
So I picked that. Brewer's malt is somewhere in between Pilsen malt and pale malt. So I didn't want all the sweetness of pale, but I didn't want the sharpness of... Turn it up. There you go. Perfect, brother. Thank you. I didn't want the sharpness of Pilsen, which is self-explanatory,
right.
Like a Pilsen beer. So I wanted somewhere between, you know, pretty sweet and not so sweet, if that makes any sense at all.
Oh, yeah.
So the levels of sweetness would be...
Well, you make beer, it's all about the balance.
Exactly. You know, if you were to tier it, it would be Pilsen malt, and then brewer's malt, and then pale malt. So we've got equal parts brewer's and pale in here, and then we've got some Carapils dextrin, which will be for foam and head retention, and then we've got Crystal 20, which is just for a little bit of color,
which, if you remember from the last podcast, is not crystal meth.
It's not. It's not. Crystal 20 is going to add a little bit of mouth feel and sad moment, I spilled some grain. Body, mouth feel and body is what you're going for there. And we should be, if we did that right, we should be right at 150. Hopefully. 140.
And the temperature has a lot to do with absorption, maybe, I would assume?
648. It's fine with there. That's fine. Yeah, well, it's going to... Where's my top? Right there. You dump all that stuff out of that top, just dump it right there. Perfect. That'll be perfect. I'd rather be slightly under than too far over, and make sure we get all the sugars. So now that's going to go for... Let me start this timer.
An hour and a half.
So it's going to kind of soak in the hot water.
Yeah.
All the grains for an hour and a half.
Yeah. So what's happening right now is there's what's called diastatic enzymes inside of these grain. Okay. And it's the carbohydrates inside of the grain, and whoever a genius. Human, many moons before any of us, figured out that at the 150 degree mark, at like 165, you kill the enzymes. So you end up getting a mash that tastes more like the husk than the sweetness that's inside the husk.
Right.
At under 140, it's semi-sweet, but it's kind of bland husky. that makes any sense. So right at 150 is the part where the diastatic enzymes convert from carbohydrates to sugars. So you have a range between like 145 and like 160 at the most to be able to taper your flavor profile of your mash, contingent upon how sweet or how grainy you want it to taste. There's a lot of beer, like I remember drinking Lucky Town's Ballistic Blonde, and I remember thinking they must mash hotter, on the hotter end, around 165 or so, 160, 165, because when you drink the Blonde, while the Blonde is a great beer, you definitely get a husky, corny grain flavor, as opposed to grain sweetness.
Go back to the hops for a second, because we weren't recording when we did that, which you have an awesome hop vine, but it's not vine, it's vine.
Vine.
You have an awesome hop vine over there, three of them. And those things smell amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And for by and large, for the people that don't know much about brewing, the malt is the sweetness, the hops is the bitterness.
Right.
And you got to find that balance depending on what you want to get. And you explained to me the chemistry behind the pick and the fresh hop. But as far as taste, what do you think in this beer is going to be different on the hops being fresh off the vine versus dried out and then put in?
I am speculating. This is my trial run at a fresh hop ale. But experience would yield that in using a fresh hop, you're looking to get a little bit more of a vegetative flavor, and that's not really a bad thing. It's more of a chlorophyll type flavor that would go on, that would be enhanced with the bitterness. See, like when you have a hop like Citra is very citrusy. There's a lemon, lime, grapefruit, all that kind of dances around. But we're using Cascade. That's what I grow here in my 1817 hop farm, and it's grassy in nature.
Yeah.
So that's only going to be enhanced even more.
Because it's fresh in the beer.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was talking to Mark at Trojan Prost the other day. And
beer
he was
Yoda.
Like, the Beer Yoda. And I said, you know, this is what I'm wanting to do. And I explained it to him. He's like, well, he said, I don't have any experience doing that. And you're just going to have to call and tell me if it's incredible or if it's moo brew.
Lubru.
He said, because it's either going to taste great or it's going to taste like you're chewing freshly mowed grass.
Yeah.
He said, so somewhere in between those two.
But it'll get you drunk.
But it'll get you drunk. You will mow so fast.
Yeah.
Or so slow. Depends on what it does for you.
Speaking of Beer Yoda, I don't know if Anthony told you this yet or not, but Anthony came up with a perfect name, because I always have trouble saying Charleston Frost. I'm not even saying it right now.
Yeah.
I wanted to say Frost for some reason. And I was trying to say it, and he was trying to correct me. He just went Dagobah. Because, you know, the Dagobah system's where Yoda's from in Star Wars. So, Frost and Prost is now the Dagobah system, and Mark is Beer Yoda. Which he's listened to the podcast, by the way. I asked him today, and he said he listened to it.
Oh, yeah, man. Mark's a big fan. Golly, man, he's so knowledgeable. By the way, I'm gonna be stealing that guy when we get this new facility built in Tupelo. I'm totally stealing him away as much as I can to help out at the facility.
That'd be awesome. We need to get him to a barbecue.
Oh yeah, well see.
Does he get out a lot?
No.
He don't leave the Dagobah system.
No.
Which is, you have to go to him for training.
That's right. That's right. You know,
it's like Lewis. The analogies will never stop.
I'll be a backpack while you run.
Yeah. Did you run around with Mark on your back when you were reverse brewing your first batch? In that little pot right there?
Just hitting it.
Yeah.
Just running around hitting it with a spoon.
That is what you feel. Oh, man.
We're not even drunk.
We're not even drunk yet. I'm three beers in.
There's no try.
Brew or brew not.
There brew is brew no not. Try. There's no try. That needs to be the next shirt.
There you go.
That needs to be the next shirt, man.
Absolutely.
I forgot what the crap I was going to say. Oh. So, you know, he's extremely knowledgeable about whatever facet interests him. He's extremely knowledgeable.
Right.
Well, he's built his own smokers, and he smokes his own meat. And I have not tasted it, but he has shown me pictures, and like you know good bark on meat when you see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know something that looks just dried out and tired, and you know something that's like
succulent, moist, and awesome.
Yeah.
And everything.
Meat candy.
That, yeah, everything that I've seen from him, I'm just like, oh, dude, I want to try it so bad. I mean, the man makes his own charcoal.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he makes his
I've
own
watched
charcoal.
Videos on that. That's a process.
Yeah. He makes his own charcoal and then smokes his own meat and then brews beer and distills. And I mean, he's unbelievable. Speaking of distilling, I've got something for us to try a little bit later.
I'm in.
Going in late tomorrow. Something that Mark and I made.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Little orange brandy.
Wow. Did you bring the Alabama scotch?
You tell me we weren't drinking liquor tonight.
I said I wasn't. Well,
you ruined it.
He don't have to go home.
Well, I'm going to sleep right there.
Yeah.
We'll pull out liquor jerky.
Just stay inside the fence.
That's what it's for.
We'll close it.
People think it's to corral the children, but it's really just for to you. Corral me. Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to break this up in sections. I want to start recording again. I'm going to go get me another beer.
For sure.
But I want when we do the next step here. And when we come back, I want to talk a whole lot about this new facility, the mill and everything out there. Which, by the way, statute of limitations allows me to say this on the air now because I shouldn't be able to get arrested because it's been so long. But Kill J actually, guerrilla style, did a music video in front of the mill years ago.
That's awesome.
It never got released because, like, all of my band members quit, as they often do when you spend money on something.
But he still's got the footage.
It's on my old hard drive, and the hard drive crashed, and I've been trying to copy it off, and it's not wanting to go. But I think somebody else, Rob probably has it.
Is it a Dell Latitude 520?
I hope so, because it's still kicking, right? But no, it looks really, really good. And we did it like in the corner right there, and they did like the upshot to get the old looking building. Yeah, we totally did it guerrilla style too. Like, I don't know who owned the place at the time, or this was years ago. But
it don't matter.
But yeah, it turned out really good, except for the fact that, you know, I'm the only band member that's. That could just edit everybody else out and just have me standing in front of the mill.
Absolutely. That's awesome, man. I'd love to see that sometime.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to
resurrect that from the catacombs of the hard drive.
Of the dead hard drive sectors. Cool. Well, let's go get a beer, man. I've so far drank one of each. You have the amber and the Hefeweizen.
The last keg of Hefeweizen, probably for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So I feel privileged.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
I don't feel bad about emptying the kegs because we've got something new to put in them.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The brandy that you'll try later is actually from the oranges that made this very last keg of Hefeweizen. Wow.
Talk about recycling.
Full circle, man.
Man. Awesome.
Full circle.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
Move that cup, please.
Real quick, before we do this next phase of the process. And the people listening got to time travel a little bit because that needed to sit for an hour and a half, and you said it's been right at an hour and a half, right?
Yes, we are at 1 hour and 15 minutes.
So that software even does that too.
Yep.
Is there anything that the Dell Latitude doesn't do? Does it have limits?
Open quickly.
Okay, it doesn't boot up.
It does not boot
the
quickly,
same day you turn it on.
But I love her so much, because brother, I'm going to tell you, that's the...
Sounds like it's been faithful.
I love it.
She's got him to where he is today.
So the next step will be to dump all of that into here? Or do you have to strain the...
We have to... Sparge.
Oh,
that one more time.
That's how. Okay, I see. After seeing how the modifications you made to this cooler,
yeah,
that's like your filter. down there.
So what I have in here is called a bazooka tube.
Okay.
Why it's called that, I don't know. But basically what it is a stainless steel mesh tube that is connected to the backside of the spigot, so it allows the now sugar, intensely sugar water to flow through the grain and out the spigot without clogging the spigot.
And leave the grain behind.
So what we'll do in the sparging process is we're going to heat up 10 more gallons of water, and we're going to slowly monitor the level of water to the level of grain. You don't want the water to get past the level of grain because it's easy to get a what's called a stuck sparge.
Okay.
So you keep the level of water just above the grain, and you keep adding water to it at usually the same rate that you're draining from, because it creates a vacuum and it sucks all the sugars out of the grain. That's the sparging process, is to be able to pull all of the accumulated sugars out of the grain and get a super concentrated sugar water, which is wort, to when...
Right.
Then when we add hops and then ferment, it becomes beer.
Right.
The end. Nope, that's it. It's over.
Yeah, then we're done. Thank you for coming.
Yep.
Before we went any further, I also wanted to say, this is everything you could ever imagine or want from a BBQ from my perspective. We got this huge spread of food over here. We've got three drunk chickens cooking on the grill. They look like they're about ready.
Well, two.
Two?
We got two drunk chickens.
Oh, two of them are drunk, and one of them's the designated sober.
The designated chicken.
Yeah. One's a brownie. We're being held up.
And we're brewing some so far so good beer.
So far so good, man. We'll be able to check. Well, I can check now, as a matter of fact. Yeah, would you like to try it?
Sure.
See if it tastes sugary or husky to you. And hopefully you say...
It's definitely sweet.
Sugary, good. Excellent. That's what we're going for. So the diastatic conversion has worked, and we've got excellent sugar extraction. Not too sweet, but hopefully we're going to be able to hit our gravity. I didn't bring my hydrometer. Dang. To be able to measure the actual gravity.
We'll do a live.
So it'll be, it'll be whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, this will be the kick.
Yeah. It'll be what it's going to be. I'm tasting 1.05, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got a little bit of that.
Yeah.
All right, so the next process is we're fixing to fire this bad boy back up, which is going to be really loud, so we'll come back after we
get it up to 168 degrees.
Which won't take long with this behemoth.
No, and there's only 10 gallons in there, so
yeah.
I'm going to say 12 minutes, and we're at temperature.
Put your hand over the lid of that mark so they can get it.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.
I just like to scrape them off the top. Just get done with it. Way we only got a food.
Right.
Got a food with them no more.
Right. So scraping off the proteins, and
we're officially at a boil now, but I have to do a hop addition. So as soon as I get this crap off of here, normally I have a big fancy sift that I would pull this off of in like two scoops, but just like the spectrometer, I left that also. But whatever, no big deal.
So you got a low boil going on right now.
Yeah, I'll crank it up here in just a minute. When you do the first hop addition, you're typically going to get some pretty vigorous boil. So I like to keep it relatively low, and then right after the first hop addition calms down, crank that dude up.
Nice.
So we're gonna weigh out. You would, Harrison, go around underneath the charcoal grill right here. Grab that garbage sack. And we're going to weigh out 20 ounces of hops here. And normally I'd have a pail to do this, but hey, you know, garbage bag, pail, whatever.
Same thing.
All the same. Super sophisticated here at the Coleman House. There's 1 pound, 1 ounce, 2 ounces, 3 ounces.
Four on the dot.
Now, this being the first time that I've done this, I was going to process them and see if I can't chop them up somewhat. So I'm going to do a little bit of that to see if it'll work. And if it does work, we'll do the whole batch like that and shove them in these bags. If it doesn't really work the way I want it to, we'll just do it like this and put them in the bag.
All right.
So that's part of the experimentation process.
Yes, yeah, right.
Yeah, this little food processor really comes in handy doing this kind of stuff. One problem is the cord is stupid short. It's like a 3-foot cord.
I never would have put two and two together like this, putting the food processor in there with it.
Let's try a handful here, see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll move on to bigger and better things.
That was chopping up the hops.
I would call that a success. So.
Awesome.
We're gonna grind these up for sure. It's gonna take a little bit longer to do, just slightly, but I think it'll be worth it in the end.
Smell the aromatics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's very, very grassy, that is for sure. Mark was right about that, no doubt about it. So now we know that we can do more than just that little bitty bit. Will you, Anthony, will you go cut that boil down just a touch to just barely a simmer, please?
Yeah. Black knob, yeah.
Yeah, the black knob. You'll figure out what's up and down.
That is beautiful.
Really is pretty. It does smell like grass. I hope it's not so grassy that it tastes like grass. But we'll see, you know? I don't know.
Right.
It's part of the fun. I suppose. This is gonna take a while if you want to save some footage.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, it's gonna take a while.
All right. We'll be right back. All right. So we are back with Kim Coleman.
Kim.
Oh, say it again, Laura.
Kim.
Get her to say, ask her why she puts on her biscuit.
She can't make herself say your name.
Jim.
It's jam.
Jam. For somebody who is so
water sweet potatoes.
Yam.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But
what happens when a bunch of cars get piled up together?
It's a traffic jam.
Jam.
That's totally different.
Traffic jam.
That's
totally different.
Now jam.
Wow.
Okay, but yeah, we are back with Kim Coleman. We just had a little silly moment here.
To jump right back in, when last time we talked, you was talking about a cheap little honeysuckle. Where are you at on that?
So I made the Tupelo honeysuckle with real honeysuckles, and it was pretty gross.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. It smelled like decaying vegetation. Okay. Because that's what it had in it, and it was not good at all. The beer flavor wasn't bad.
Okay.
The beer smell was rancid. So I let it age for about 3 months, and the smell is almost obsolete. I mean, there's virtually no funky odor whatsoever. Okay. And the beer has maturated and kind of come around, and it's developed actually quite nicely. So to answer the question, I don't think that I would do it the same way again. But it's encouraging to know. Anybody out there in the home brewing field,
I still find myself being guilty of this from time to time, but if you make something that's not good within, like, the first time you try it, let it sit a week and try it. If it's still not good, let it sit 2 weeks and try it. If it's still not good, let it sit a month and try it. You know, and just keep letting it sit. It's amazing what time will do for beer or cider or mead or whatever, or right. wine. It's amazing what time will do. So just leave it alone, let it sit. Brew something else in the meantime, and you know, get over the disappointment of it doesn't taste the way you want, but just let it sit, because you never know.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice right now, but it'll
good
it'll
beer
be
is kind of like good whiskey. It ages better over time.
You got, you know, the mark, I've always said the mark of a good beer is the longer it sits, or sometimes the warmer it gets after serving, the better it gets.
Right, yeah.
Now, there reaches a point, of course, to right. where
there's a fine line.
There's a fine line where you start to lose certain you know, parts of flavors, but it's definitely true, man. I mean, let's take PBR for an example. You open a PBR and it starts to gain 3, 4, 5 degrees of heat. It's awful. Yeah. It's terrible. I mean, I love PBR ice cold, but
right.
man, it starts to get somewhat cool. It's the nastiest thing I've ever drank.
It's a little skunky.
Oh, it's horrible. Let me stir these hops up real quick.
All right, go ahead. My next question, though, is since we last talked, how have things progressed for you? How where are you at now?
Oh, man, it's awesome. We've gained just a handful more businesses because I don't ever want to outgrow my supply.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I had to think about that for a second. I always want to be in demand, but I don't want to take on a new business and not be able to supply that demand. That's the worst thing you can possibly do.
You don't want to spread yourself too thin.
Exactly. You know, you don't want to be the hot ticket and people start to make you their new tradition, you know, their new go-to, which is awesome, and then not be able to be consistent and supply them with that, because that's the easiest way to tick people off, to tick retailers off,
right.
and then you've burned a bridge.
Exactly.
So anyways, I said all that to say, we've taken on about 5 new accounts, which is not many on purpose, because I knew that this new gas to electric conversion was coming, and not only converting from gas to electric, we're jumping from 60 gallons a day to 120 gallons a day.
Oh, wow, you doubled it.
Yeah, so we're doubling our output, which is a wonderful, right. wonderful problem to have. But my plan is by the end of the year to go from the 27, 28 businesses we have right now to 40.
Right.
I want to be in 40 businesses by the end of the year. And if we come close to 35, I'll be super happy with that. But we need to definitely be in the mid-30s
right.
by the end
so,
of the year.
So what are some of the new places that you actually have? Are they, you know, around Tupelo, local, or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's see. Amsterdam Deli is a new one. We are on, I guess I can count this. We're not in there yet. We're about to be in the new Mugshots in Columbus.
Nice.
I think since we last talked, we are now in Zachary's in Columbus. I'm going through the list. I don't remember if we were in Forklift the last time. Were
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Oh, we were
yeah,
Forklift.
Were.
Okay.
To go eat there.
That was right. That was right at the. Yeah, 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 yeah. That was right at that time. We had just gotten in there. And there's somebody that I. Oh man, I'm so ashamed. We were already in Thirsty Devil, Nautical Whimsy Blue Canoe, Bancorp. I don't know.
Speaking,
we never. I was going to get into Anthony's, and we actually never did. I just heard the other day that they closed. That's a bummer, man.
Oh, you beat time.
Speaking of the Bancorp South, I told you earlier prior to the interview when we went up there for the Alice Cooper concert, they had 3 of your beers available then, and I couldn't decide which ones I wanted. Yeah. So I just got one of each, and I'm like sitting in a whole section by myself, and I'm like walking up to that section with three beers by myself, and people are looking at me like, this guy's either got a drinking problem or he's awesome.
That's killer support, man. Yeah, thank you.
You know, and when we did Comic-Con, the first night, it's a two-day thing that we did Tupelo Comic-Con. The first night after we got done, we went to Nautical Whimsy. And I think we tagged you in a photo where we were sitting at the bar with...
You did, man.
1817 right there. You
did. I think that was the Amber.
Yeah, we had the Amber
that
night. That
was an Amber. The Mango Wheat's there now. Have y'all had a chance to have that?
I haven't had. That's what I was going to ask about.
Yeah, we need to try.
Mango Wheat's pretty... It's pretty good, man. Yeah. It's, I mean, humbly speaking, it's a cool beer. I had it today on draft at Forklift, and it's nice. It's really nice.
So every time you come out with a new beer, mm-hmm. do the existing places that, you know, you have connections with and stuff, are they getting the new beers, or is this to a certain select few?
You know, it's really different because everybody's kind of got their own take on things. Let me elaborate on that. Romy's. Romy's has a very traditional crowd. And the fact that we were able to get draft beer in there and gain a foot in the door and get in and create a new niche in a very niche market... People that typically go to Romy's, and if you typically go to Romy's, I think you'll find this is true. You're a traditionalist. You like the drinks and that you typically get, and you continue to get those type drinks. The food that you normally get there,
you like what you like,
is the food that you usually get there. So when we brought in our craft beer, you know, it was really a shot in the dark because that's a really traditional crowd, and they pride themselves on that. And, dude, Romy's has been selling the... I picked up 4 empty kegs from them today.
Nice.
I mean, I just happened to go through, and Charles hadn't been through, and I was just like, well, I'll just go ahead and get them. I'll give them to Charles in a minute. But they were totally out of the Goza. No more Goza. They were totally out of the Amber. They found an Amber keg in the back, so they brought that up and hooked it up. And they had about a quarter or so... of Mexican left, and then one full Mexican in the back. So I mean, they are rolling through. Good so deal. The fact I'm saying that to say thank you, you know, to the Romy crowd for being able to give us a chance to be that new tradition,
right?
For them, but then you'll have places like Blue Canoe. They want the new thing,
right?
Forklift. Right. They want the new thing. You know, whatever the new thing is, bring it on.
Right.
Let's check it out because people dig the new thing.
Gotcha. So I'm drinking on the. The Belgian.
Is that the Belgian white IPA?
Yeah, that's it's really good. You know, we talked about it a little bit off. You got a little tweaking that you're wanting to do on it yet?
Right.
So this is not actually available out.
No, that was just an experimental batch that, you know, me and
You need to capitalize on this one for sure.
Well, thank
this
you.
Is really good. I like a good Belgian beer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's kind of weird going back and forth between the you know, when the beer's in your mouth, having that Belgian profile, and then the IPA, and then kind of the Belgian comes back, and then the IPA. It's
I like it.
It's kind of a juxtaposition of that. Flavors. But
you're kind of going. You're trying to touch base on all the styles. Will you do a cider one day? 1817 cider.
Man, I don't really like ciders.
Mix it with Red Bull. It's great.
I just don't. Yeah, well, that's true. Mix it with Red Bull. It's great. Yeah. No, I just they're starting to slowly grow on me. Mark Fancher at Trostan Pros has made some, mm-hmm. and I've started to drink it. I'm like, hey, that's not that bad. Sorry, Woodchuck, Hornsby, our Angry Orchard people. It's just not my thing.
You're just too sweet.
It is. It tastes like and please don't get upset, but it tastes like fizzy apple juice to me.
Exactly.
And I don't like it. It's the same reason I don't like champagne. If you'll notice. All of my beers are incredibly low carbonated.
Right, they're low carbonated.
Right.
Yeah, I'm almost always under the volumes of carbonation stylistically because I like to taste the beer. I like to know that it's carbonated, but I like to taste the beer. I don't want to taste fizz.
Right. Well, yeah. I agree with that.
That's just me.
I like that, too.
That's just me.
You know, and I was thinking about that, too, because we have this discussion from time to time with... like you drink a beer, you go to, you, like this, you don't have chugging beer. You sip these beers.
Oh yeah, no, this is beer. You pound these beers, you get yourself into trouble,
right?
In a hurry.
But
yeah.
But the thing about it is if you take a big swig of it, like a really high carbonated beer, you take a big swig of it. First thing you're going to do is burp. Yep. I don't have that urge to do that with yours because of the low carbonation.
Yeah. Thank you. So, and that's why.
I like that. I actually like that.
A lot of people have often told me two things. One is, I don't feel bloated when I drink your beer.
Right.
And the other is if I do happen to have too many, I definitely do not have a hangover
right
the day after I drink your beer. And a lot of it has to do, first and foremost, is because I use the best ingredients I can possibly get my hands on. But the other is because the carbonation is really low.
Right.
Citric acid will jack you up, man.
Right.
You're right about that.
Citric acid. Carbonic acid.
Carbonic acid.
Carbonic acid will mess you up.
I think Anthony was wanting to talk a little bit more about the whole...
Let's talk about the success of the music at the meal.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's a...
Yeah, that was incredible.
Y'all sold like over 400 pints of beer.
Yeah, we sold right at... I rounded it to 450. It was, I mean, it was something like, you know, 456 or 457, something like that. But
wow.
Yeah, 450 pints of beer in one night between 6:30 p.m. and 11.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nuts. And, dude, it was such a cool response because, you know, I had my kegerator there. And then, you know, Mitchell Distributing is over there, and they've got the Miller Lights and Coors Lights and Bud Lights. And I noticed two things. One is when my line got too long and people didn't want to wait, they'd go over there and get themselves a beer.
Yeah.
But most of the time, people would start in the Mitchell line and get a Bud Light, Coors Light, or Miller Light, and wait in my line as they drank their beer.
Right.
Yeah.
And then get a craft beer and then go about their way.
I noticed that at the Alice Cooper concert, too. I mean, you had a really good turnout for the 1817 booth at the Alice Cooper concert. And there were people doing that exact thing where they were sitting there sipping on a
Miller Lite.
Yeah. You know, and just...
Waiting in line.
And you know, I guess that kind of helped them pass their time by, but... There was a couple of times which, you know, I went back one other time and got another amber, I think it was.
Good grief.
And, that night I was a champ. That night I was great.
I was about to say, man,
I was a champ.
You were
that
having
night.
A big night that night.
Oh, no, it was great. Shoot. But people did. Every time I got in, or the both times I was in line, I had to wait for 5 minutes or more.
Man, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel so good. You know, we, not only the Alice Cooper concert did we have a really good response, but here, just this last week when we had Journey, we sold completely out for the third time this year.
Right.
And that was almost 8 kegs. I say almost because they had one in reserve from the last concert. But I don't really count that because that's not one that we did for this one. Yeah. So 7 full kegs on 3 taps. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Is that not a beautiful thing?
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's a good problem to have.
It is an incredible problem to have. It's an incredible blessing. I love knowing that people are seeking out the product, and not only seeking it out, returning to it.
Right.
You know, it's one thing to be like, okay, this is local, let's give it a shot. It's another thing to be like, man, that was good.
Yeah.
I want another one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it for me. That's the whole reason why I do this.
Exactly. You know, I mean, Anthony has turned me on to some good beers in the past. And I've got to say, when you came, you know, out being local and being a local brewer right here from our hometown, I mean, it does us proud, man. I mean,
oh, thanks, man.
I'm not gonna say we're beer lovers. We're kind of beer snobs, I guess.
You kind of get that way.
Yeah, I mean, because you can drink the other guys.
Sure.
I'm not calling any names,
sure,
but
sure,
you can drink the other guys every day of the week. But to get a good beer, a good filling beer, satisfying beer. You know, you're doing the right thing. You're going in the right direction.
Thank you. It's it's a hard juxtaposition for me because I am the most expensive beer in the state.
Well, you have to be right now.
I'm a one man show. I'm the king and the slave of the company.
Right.
You know, so when I buy all these ingredients, I buy everything locally from Trostan Pro. So that kind of drives the price up. I cellar all of my beers.
Right.
All of my beers are cellared between, 43 and 53 degrees for at least a month.
Right.
To try to maximize the apex of freshness and flavor profile. No one else does that. I try to justify it as best I can, but what I'm trying to make is the best bang for your buck upscale right. beer. My beers are regularly $1 more expensive per pint at a retail establishment than any other local right. brewery. It's not necessarily something I'm proud of because I feel bad that the consumer has to tote that weight. But at the same time, I am kind of proud of it because people continue to show the support regardless
exactly.
of the price point.
Right. Exactly.
And that's something that really makes
me
feel
good.
That
should show you right there you're doing something right.
And hopefully creating more volume when we get into the new facility in Tupelo.
Yeah, that was
we'll be another able to thing kind of drive the price point down a little bit.
That's another thing I wanted to kind of touch
at
on.
At least in
bit.
Tupelo. for the local folks.
What's all right. the ETA on the establishment, the brewery?
So we're looking at tentatively, they're telling me August of 18,
okay.
which would be awesome.
So but just a little over a year from now.
Just a little over a year, but I am skeptically...
yeah.
optimistic to have it in by the end of 18 because there's a lot of things that have to take place
right.
Structurally I mean there's no plumbing, there's virtually no electrical.
Oh, so there's a lot
there's got to be trench drains cut
and the parts are cold.
Yeah, I mean there is a lot of work to be done and there's got to be I mean, just to have the down payment for the equipment, I've got to have 6 months in advance. And see, I've got to be careful about that because I can't have all this equipment ready and no place to put it.
No place, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, everything's got to line up just so.
Right.
So, if we get in 18, I'll be happy.
We were talking about your hops and stuff like that. You know, me and Anthony come out here and got some video footage of it earlier. You definitely have a green thumb for what you're doing right here.
Well, thank you. This is, I'd love to take credit for it, but actually all this is a result of my spent grains.
Really?
Yeah. When I get done brewing, and I have all those spent grains, I'll bring them home, and I'll dump them in this plot and spread them out. And let them naturally compost.
Nice.
And you got to be careful. You can't use too much or else it gets too hot as far as mineral richness and it'll burn up the ground. And you won't be able to grow anything. But, man, I'm going to tell you, as you can plainly see, there's so much nutritional value in what they call spent grain.
Right.
So I wish I could take credit for it, but it's nothing but just dumping this stuff out there and sticking stuff in the ground.
Nice.
And it grows.
You got anything else you want to add?
I covered everything I had on my notes.
Well, I will. As far as a word of encouragement for anybody who's out there trying to do the home brewing thing,
yeah,
what do you got for them?
Man, do it. Jump in, face first. Get a brew kit. Go to Trostan Prost if you're in the Tupelo area. Go to Trostan Prost. Get a home brew supply kit. Which is basically going to be, 2 5-gallon ale pails and, a couple of different, tubes and spend the money and buy a spectrometer and because it's so much better than a hydrometer. And, man, just get in there and go after it. I would also encourage, I know you want to keep costs low at the beginning, but, man, go ahead and buy a Beersmith. It helps so much.
And you said it's what, $30?
$30, man. It's so much. It'll pay for itself the first time you use it. It's so user-friendly and easy to use. Do it. If you want to start with an extract brew, that's super cool. Go for it. That's how I did my very first one. But my very next beer, I was all grain because all grain isn't that isn't that difficult?
Right.
Read, educate yourself, figure out the process, know the process of what you're doing before you actually do it. You know, it's one thing, it's kind of like a recipe.
Right.
You know, if you don't know really how a cake is supposed to taste, right, it's going to be really hard to make that cake.
Exactly.
So you've got to already have an idea of the beer that you're trying to make before you start doing the things you want to do. But anyways, I mean, just go.
Yeah.
Go and do it. Go talk to Mark Fancher at Trojan Pros. He is more than knowledgeable, and he will educate you beyond your wildest dreams. And I'd say realistically, man, $100, $150 at the most.
Yeah.
You know, you can get everything that you need, including the grain, for your very first batch of beer, and get out there and do it, man. It's a blast. It's so much fun. Crap, it's midnight and we're still doing it.
Right. Speaking from my experience, the first time I done it, it wasn't successful.
Right.
It was still fun. I still enjoyed it.
Lars over here shaking her head.
A little. Yeah. That was well, man, on behalf of Kill Pop Culture, keep doing what you're doing, and congratulations on gaining, you know, and keeping on gaining more and more venues to release and distribute to.
Thank y'all so much. Thank you for the support.
And it, man, anytime. And everybody that's out here listening, get ready, because there's going to be a BBQ Part 2.
Sure.
Pardew.
Drunk chicken rock.
Oh, yeah, the drunk chicken was drunk amazing.
Hey, man, appetizers.
Right.
Out of control. Got to give y'all credit for that.
Right.
Man, that was fantastic.
Next time I bring a cake.
Ooh.
But, man.
We want to make it to the main course.
Now. Right. I'm going to go and tell you what.
It's just meant to be over with.
You eat it, and then you're ready for food coma.
That's it.
But, man, thank you again for being on the podcast again. And
thanks for having me.
You know, best wishes to everything you're doing in the future. You know, keep at it.
Keep on.
You got it. All right. Thank you, guys.
Love you, brother.
Same to y'all.
What'd you say? Anthony makes chainmail. What?
Yeah. Oh, before you hit record. God dang it!
I never hit stop. Here, drink some Shipyard.
I'm gonna mark cleaning it.
Which, by the way, we've never talked about this on the podcast before, but
it ain't on there tight.
Thanks to Laura,
we'll mark cleaning it.
We used to call. We did talk about John Wayne in a bottle on the air.
John Emerald.
John Wayneing is when you just take a bottle, open it, and drink out of it.
Sweet.
You don't pour it in glasses.
Yeah. Why not sweet?
Shot or sipping glasses or whiskey glasses, whatever you want to call it.
We take shots out of the bottle.
John Wayne. Well, now, thanks to Laura, it's called Mark Klinging it.
But that's not called taking shot or sips. It's called taking shots.
Well, just straight out of the bottle, it's Mark Klinging it.
Yeah.
Mark Klinging it.
So I guess I'm the new John Wayne.
You are.
We do. I got.
I don't smoke enough cigars.
I got to give a shout out to Laura for the appetizers.
Oh my God!
Oh my
yes.
God!
So at the BBQ,
hashtag Germ's birthday.
Yeah, she knocked it out of the park with her appetizers.
Oh yeah, I felt inferior bringing a veggie tray.
You were.
I was inferior bringing a veggie tray. Yeah.
I felt inferior. Box.
She did a cheese ball with bacon instead of pecans and
dill pickles.
Dill.
She did that really good buffalo dill.
Chicken dill. The potato salad.
And those
mushrooms.
The stuffed mushrooms. She needs to come up with a name for that. Crazy.
I can't remember the name of it.
No, she needs to come up with a new
name
for it.
There's something
else. A Germ's potato salad.
What am I forgetting? It's the next day, by the way. We didn't make it to the intro last night because we got too...
Tired.
Tired?
We were just tired.
Yeah. The Irish whiskey and beer had nothing to do with it. Oh, here, by the way, Germ, here's your...
All right, thanks, Mark.
We decided to sip on the Irish whiskey while we played D&D today. Not shoot, but sip. Yeah, we got a little tired last night. We didn't finish the outro, but we're going to do it now, right before... We're still waiting on Kelly to get here. We got the dice on the table, ready to play some D&D. Waiting for Kelly to get here. We need to put another... I may try to sneak in an episode of KPC Plays D&D.
Just a snippet.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like a shit flip or something.
So they know that. So they know that it's still a thing. God, like I haven't completely abandoned that. It's just been a year since we played, so you know, what are you gonna do?
Right.
One thing I wanted to talk about on this outro, we don't have to spend a lot of time because we got a whole show's worth of stuff. But this whole thing that's going on with the big beer industries, mm-hmm. where they're kind of freaking out. When I say big beer, I'm talking about, you know, not to mention any names, but you know, your big, well, I'll just say it, Miller Lite,
yeah,
Coors Light, Bud Light. They're all kind of freaking out because this whole craft beer craze is like really hit. Like people are starting to realize, like, hey,
there's better beer out there.
There's good beer out there. Stuff that we had no idea. There's more to life than this stuff. Which, and I'm not knocking it. I drink Miller Lite. I got an Ultra right here, so I'm not knocking it. But you know, I love craft beer, and other people are starting to get the, you know, starting to figure it out. And what's happening is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but these bigger beer companies are like going and buying these small breweries,
yeah,
and trying to make out like.
Well, they're not even trying to make out. They, instead of making their own recipes and doing their own research and development to come up with a good recipe for a good beer, they're just buying somebody else who already done it.
Yeah.
And they can throw a lot of money at them and tempt these people to just, you know, sell them out. Exactly. Yeah.
But they slide in under the radar as a quote-unquote craft beer company. But it's actually big daddy beer company.
Right. They keep the same name. They keep it all the same. Everything's the same. You go buy it on the shelf. It looks the same. Tastes the same. It is the same, except it's just owned by a major corporation.
We talked about this a lot with Kim the other night. I don't think we recorded any of it, but I can always tell when we're having a really good time doing podcast stuff because we don't record anything.
Exactly.
We're too busy having fun to even be bothered by recording something. But one of the things we talked about was, he said, didn't he say that there's some, is it African hops or something like that?
There's a hop farm in Africa.
And they've like used their big beer corporate money to buy out all that. And nobody can get to it.
Right.
They're like blocking it.
They bought them out. I mean, they just bought up all the allotments for the hops. And they didn't leave anybody for anybody else.
Good thing we're growing our own. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Kill Pop Culture's here to fix that shit.
Right.
Damn it.
Give me a few years.
We're gonna be the dark knight that brings justice to the hop industry.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, seriously, it's a real problem. I think I read an article where, like, there were some beer companies that were trying to even pass themselves off as local.
I haven't read it, but yeah, I would put it past them.
Yeah. It's like, we're a local beer company. It's like, no, you're not.
Thanks.
You can buy stock. If you can buy stock in your company, yeah, you're not local.
Right.
1817 is about as local as it gets.
Right, yeah.
And another thing I wanted to mention, there are people listening to this podcast that aren't, you know, close to this area. I would recommend find a local brewery close to you, yeah, and support it. Mm-hmm. If you can't support 1817 because you're too far away, hopefully they'll be, you know, spreading out to your area eventually. But for right now, support local everything, man. Local music, local beer.
And if you live outside of Mississippi, you have a local brewery. I mean,
oh yeah.
If we have one,
if Mississippi's got one,
we got one. You got one.
I don't know. Amory's got a comic book store, and people from Tupelo are having to drive here. But no, and one last thing I wanted to add to any potential home brewers out there: don't be scared to jump into this stuff. Kim talked about that some too, but it's not that hard to make beer.
No,
it's not.
It just takes patience.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of waiting. It's like wait for it to cool down, wait for it to heat up, you know. Add this, then add that. I mean, it's not rocket science. We may make it sound that way, especially with somebody like Kim that knows what he's doing and knows how to make it just like he wants it. You know, you can get technical with it, but the actual basic process of making beer is not hard.
No.
It's really not. You need a couple buckets. You need some water. I prefer Marley Harmon spring water.
Marley Harmon spring water. I got my beer kit. You can get a beer kit
and you can get them at the Dagobah system.
Yeah. Again, support your local brew supply store and go get you a kit and get started. We talked last night about keeping a batch of something going all the time. Right. Instead of making a batch of something and wait, and then it's done and drink it.
Right.
Like, it's like we're always, something new is almost ready. Like,
and it would be a whole lot better than having a kegerator as a shelf.
Yeah, we're literally using a very nice kegerator as a shelf right now. And that's sad.
Sad.
It is.
Sad.
I think I'm going to cry. Actually, I do have a few tears of joy because of the sexy food that is waiting on us in the oven while we're playing. You want to tell everybody what you made today for us?
I think it's a Cajun po' boy. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Well, what's the name of the YouTube channel we watch? We need to give a shout out.
Yeah, we do.
He's a Mississippi boy.
He's a Mississippi boy from Biloxi. Rush Jones Smoky Ribs.
Smoky Ribs, yeah.
He's got a YouTube channel.
Oh my God. He makes sexy food.
He does a lot of grilling and smoking, good Southern Cajun type food. I mean, it's just good looking food. I've stolen, borrowed, adapted 4 or 5 of his recipes and nothing's turned out bad. They're all great.
Like, you showed me the video for this one time today, and it was like, yep, that's what we're doing.
Well, the thing was, we were like, hey, listen, we're going to get together, we're going to play D&D, and I was like, well, we'll just grill. And then I got to thinking, I was like, it's 92 degrees outside, quite literally. Why did I say it like that? I don't know. It's humid. I was like, why don't we come up with something like ribs or something like that you put in a pan, you put in the oven, you turn the oven on, and you wait for 3 hours. And then you were like, hey, smoky ribs.
Yeah, got a recipe for us.
So it's, you basically, long story short, you had a big cast iron skillet in here.
Right.
You diced up bell pepper.
Onions.
Celery, the onions are kicking. Like, my eyes are watering right now. Yeah. Not just because I'm happy.
Had some seasoned flour, breaded off some pork steaks.
Celery. Did you say celery?
Yes, sir.
Fresh garlic.
Fresh garlic.
All that chopped, diced up real good. And then you took the pork chops.
Pork steaks, excuse me.
You browned them.
Right.
Threw them in a pan. And then took all that and put it in the skillet with the...
The little remnants.
The remnants.
Fawn, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The gooey.
The goodness.
The yumminess.
The goodness gracious.
You added a secret ingredient.
And I think you added a little bit of secret ingredient that might not have been the original recipe, but I think it's going to be good.
Might have been a little bit of IPA in there.
Might have put a little bit of hopsecutioner beer, yeah. IPA in there. It's in the oven. It's going to cook for 3 hours while we roll some D20s.
And then after that, we'll have some good sandwiches.
We'll have some good sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Rush Jones, Smoky Ribs, YouTube channel.
Yeah, he deserves a shout out.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be a sponsor.
Maybe.
We need to tag him in this.
No, we'll tag him. Yeah, we'll tag him. We'll get him on the show.
Yeah, hey, this is an open invitation.
Next Brubecue.
Oh my Lord, could you imagine Brubecue 2 with...
Get him up there for that.
I mean, he's like the Yoda of cooking.
Yeah.
Cooking Yoda, beer Yoda. Yeah. May the force be with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to jump off here and play some D&D. Just remember, brew or brew not, there is no try.
There is no try.
Love you, bye.
Love you, mean it.
1, 2, 3. Bear, 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 chimney, bear, bear, bear. A long time ago, way back in history, when all there was to drink was nothing but cups of tea, along came a man by the name of Charlie Mott, and he invented a wonderful drink and he made it out of hop.
He was a bean, an admiral, a sultan, or a king.
Fancy's pub, the hole in the wall as well. Oh, one thing you can be sure of, it's Charlie's beer they sell. So come on, all me lucky lads, 11 o'clock she stops. 5 short seconds, remember Charlie Mops. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hey, my cabine is admiral, a sultan, or a king.
Yeah.
a bushel of malt, a barrel of hops, and stir it around with a stick. That's called a lubrication to make your engine sick. Well, 40 pints of wallop a day will keep away the quack. It's only 8 and 8 the pot and 1 and 6 a tax. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hey, what's up, eat an admiral?